I'm going to read from Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Get my glasses on here to see what I'm doing. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And Luke writes this, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" Let's just pray together. Father, as we turn to your word now, we pray that you would open it up to us, that you'd help us to understand it, and having understood it, that you'd help us to put it into practice in our lives. Pray, Father, that you bless your word to us and challenge us by it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you've ever put any thought into this or considered this at all, but what do you think is the first social skill we teach our children? Long before we try to teach them how to hold a knife and fork or not to talk with their mouth full or don't throw your dinner over your sister, any of that, we teach them something else. We teach them to express gratitude, don't we? That's probably the first social skill we teach our children. We teach them to express gratitude. You know the scenario, you're pushing the baby in the pram along the road and a teddy bear falls out of the pram and a passing stranger picks it up and hands it to you and you say thank you. And then what do? You take the teddy bear and you wave it in front of the baby's face. You say, "Nice man, found your teddy bear. Say ta-ta to the nice man. Say ta-ta to the nice man." You know, she's 10 weeks, you know. There's 5 things she can do. She can cry and sleep and eat and poop and throw up, but you want her to say ta-ta to the nice man for finding her teddy bear. And as they get a little older, we teach them to write thank you letters or make thank you phone calls, don't we? We teach our children that. Thank you for inviting me to your party. Thank you for my birthday present. Now, why is that? You ever thought that? Why do we do that? What's this insistence that we have in teaching our children to say thank you? And why do we expect it from adults as a matter of course? Because this is universal, this isn't it? Every language I know has a word or a phrase for expressing gratitude. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I understand every language having words for food or water or shelter and so on. Those are necessary for survival, but thank you? That's just a sort of social nicety, isn't it? And of course, we notice it when it doesn't happen. You let somebody out of a busy road junction and he doesn't flash his lights in acknowledgement or the four-way flashers when he gets in front of you as a thank you. And we notice that, don't we? We say, "Sorry, I let that slobber out. I shouldn't have done that." You know, I'm sure you don't, you're nice Baptist people, but you know, we notice it and we expect it, don't we? But it's not the end of the world if he doesn't. It's not that important. And yet, God insists upon it. God insists that we not only feel gratitude, but that we express it. That we say, "Thank you, God." And we read that together this morning, didn't we? One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Jesus makes the point that 9 of these 10 men had expressed no gratitude at all for their healing. He'd healed them all, but 9 had expressed no gratitude. Clearly, God expects us to express our gratitude to him. Because, of course, when the psalmist says in Psalm 136, "Give thanks to the Lord for he is good," that's not some idea that he came up with himself, is it? I mean, he didn't say, "Listen, I have a great idea. Let's all give thanks to God. I'm sure God would like that." That's not what happened, because we believe this is the inspired word of God, don't we? And God is speaking to us as children. He's saying, remember to come to me and say thank you. And time again, through the psalmists and the prophets and the apostles, even Jesus himself, God says to us, come and thank me. Say thank you. Say thank you. Now, why is that? Is God just trying to teach us to be polite little Christians? Or is there more to it than that? Well, of course there's more to it than that, because everything God calls us to do has a purpose to it. So what's the purpose behind giving thanks? Well, we discover that expressing our thanks is very important, because giving thanks is an acknowledgement that we are in receipt of something. That we've received some act of grace, some act of kindness. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you for waiting. Thank you for my birthday present. Thank you for washing the dishes. It acknowledges that we've received something, some kindness, some act of grace. And that when we say thank you, we're acknowledging that we haven't taken that for granted. We're recognizing we had no right to be invited to the party, or we had no right to expect a gift, we had no right to expect anyone to do that for us. And so when Paul writes in Ephesians 5, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, what God is actually saying is, give thanks for everything, because you've no right to anything. Give thanks for everything, because you've no right to anything. Which in a culture like ours, which is so focused on its rights, and we are, aren't we? It comes as a bit of a shock to have God tell us we don't have any. You don't have any rights. Because what God is saying to us very clearly is this: everything you have, everything I have, is a gift from God. That's what he's saying. He's saying you don't have it by right, you have it by grace. God says, I'm pouring out my grace into your life every day, when you're awake and when you're asleep, when you're in good health, when you're ill, when you're working, when you're unemployed, all the time I am pouring my grace into your life. And we need to recognize God's daily presence with us is a gift. Our adoption into his family, if you're a Christian, is a gift. Our salvation is a gift. Every spiritual blessing in Christ is a gift. I'm not suggesting that we should express our thanks that the house should burn down. We've got to be realistic about this. There are events that happen in life which we'd be perverse to give thanks for, you know. We can't give thanks that we've been diagnosed with a serious illness or that a loved one has passed away. Those aren't things to be thankful for. But what we can be thankful for is that even in those circumstances, even those traumatic circumstances of life, that God is not absent, that God is with us, he is the God of all comfort, that he's present in our distress, that he understands and our concerns and our grief. We can give thanks for that. We've often heard people who've come through traumatic events say, if I hadn't had God with me, don't know how I'd coped. Maybe you've said that at some point in your life. If I hadn't had God with me, if I hadn't had my faith in God, I don't know how I would have got through that. So let's thank him for his presence and his faithfulness through all the trying and all the traumatic periods of life, as well as the everyday stuff that we can so easily take for granted. Because we do take so much for granted, don't we? And God is saying to us, remember to thank me for the everyday stuff as well. When you open your eyes in the morning, that's a gift from me. Give thanks for it. The food on your table, it's a gift from me. Give thanks for it. These friends you have, this car you drive, that house you live in, your job, this church, the clothes on your back, these are all gifts from me. Give thanks for them. Can you see the spiritual benefits of giving thanks in this way? Because for a start, what it does is it brings us to a constant awareness of God, doesn't it? As we give thanks, we become aware of God and his goodness and his grace in our lives. Every time we sit down at a meal, we give thanks and give thanks. We're acknowledging that this doesn't come from Tesco's. This comes from God. Every time we thank God for our friends or our job or our home, we're acknowledging that these haven't come to us because of some sparkling personality that attracts people to us, or because we worked hard and studied hard and got this job, or because of our talent, but that these are gifts from God. And that has massive implications for you and for me. Because if God has given you a friend, don't you have responsibilities before God to look after that friend, to cultivate that friendship to a deeper level, to become what that friend needs? Because this friend is a gift from God to you. And looking back over my own life, I thank God for my friends. They have been such a blessing to me throughout my life. And God blesses us through our friends and through our friendships. And if God has given you a job, are you thankful for it? And if you recognize that this is a gift from God, aren't you obliged then to look after that job and carry it out faithfully? Be the best you can be at that job? Because that job's a gift from God. And what about our spiritual blessings? What if you're a Christian, when's the last time you thank God for his kindness in saving you? That's what the Bible teaches us. God saved us because of his kindness. It was an act of kindness. When's the last time we thank God for the blessing of his presence with us? What about this church that God has provided for you? It's so easy to find fault in church life, isn't it? There isn't a church in the world where you couldn't find someone who could find something wrong with it. That it should be doing more, that it should be providing us with more, that it's never good enough. Yeah, it's a gift from God to us. How would you feel if you give someone a gift and they turned around and complained to you it wasn't good enough? Well, God has that experience all the time from us, doesn't he? We don't always give thanks for everything he gives us. Instead, we seem to complain a lot about what he's given us. We're not always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. One of the great miracles in the Bible, one I keep being drawn back to, is that of Jesus feeding the 5,000. You know the miracle where Jesus gives 5,000 people who've gathered to hear him a free meal. It's such a significant event that it's actually recorded in all four Gospels. As you know, not everything's recorded in all four Gospels, but this is so significant, it is. And in it, there's a little detail, which is so easily overlooked, but it's also recorded in all four Gospels. A little significant detail, which is so easily overlooked. So read with me for a moment Matthew's account of that event in chapter 14. And I'm going to stick it up on the screen if you don't have a Bible or a phone or something with you. Let's just stick it up on the screen and have a look at it. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him, to Jesus, and said, "Send the crowd away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we're in a remote place here." And he replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We've only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And the disciples did so, and everybody sat down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. And then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. Now, you know the story. There are 5,000 men plus women and children. The disciples have gone through the crowd, and all they can come up with are 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. And they hand them over to Jesus, and he prays. And what does he pray? Well, he prays that prayer of thanksgiving, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven. He gives thanks. He gave thanks. And when I read that, that was a tremendous challenge to me. Because I am not sure that under those circumstances, I would have thought of giving thanks. I would have looked at the great crowd of people around me, and I'd have looked at this handful of food, and I'd have thought to myself, "Hey, you know what? This is no good. This isn't nearly enough. I need far more than this." Because when the need is so great and the resources are so few, would you have prayed, "Thank you, Father, for this"? Or would you have prayed, as I probably would have prayed, "Father, this isn't enough. We need more. We need more than this"? Are we always grateful for what God has given us, even when what we have given appears to be woefully inadequate? The prayer that comes most easily to our lips is not, "Thank you, Lord, but this isn't enough, Lord. I want more." And as I say, this challenged me, and I began to think, am I really grateful for the small things in my life? Maybe easier to be grateful for the big things that are recognizable. What about the small things in my life? What are the 5 small loaves and 2 small fish in your life? Are you looking at them right now and saying, this isn't enough? This isn't enough. Maybe you're looking at your circumstances and thinking, you know what? I really need something more than this. This isn't enough. This job I've got that God gave me doesn't fulfill me enough. This house that God gave me isn't big enough. My husband isn't caring enough. My job doesn't pay me enough. My phone isn't modern enough. My friends aren't supportive enough. I can't give thanks for this. It's not enough. I was reading recently about a guy called Doug McKnight. And at 32 years of age, Doug was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And over the following 16 years, MS would cost him his mobility, his career, and eventually his life. He couldn't feed himself. He couldn't walk. He battled with depression, fear. And friends in his church gathered around him and said, listen, Doug, could you compile a prayer list so that we could pray for you? And so he made a list of 24 things that they could pray for. His list contained 6 concerns for which to be prayerful and 8 blessings for which to be thankful. His blessings outnumbered his needs 3-1. That's a challenge, isn't it? Because our prayers are usually the other way around, aren't they? Lots of things we want, but little for which we're thankful. But the spiritual benefits of a grateful heart, a heart that looks for the positives and thanks God for his blessings, the spiritual benefits are incredible. Rick Ashley, in his sermon, I Have Learned the Secret, tells the story of a short-term missionary who was working among lepers in the island of Tobago. And he was just short-term. And on the day before he left for home, he was leading worship in a leper colony. And he asked if anyone had a favorite hymn. And when he did, a woman turned around and he saw the most disfigured face he'd ever seen in his life. She had no ears. She had no nose. Her lips were gone. But she raised a fingerless hand and she said, could we sing Count Your Blessings? And the young missionary started the song, but he couldn't finish it. He broke down. And afterwards, someone commented to him, I suppose you'll never be able to sing that song again. And he said, no, I'll sing it again, but just never in the same way. What does it take to bring us to our senses? Because we have lost our sense of perspective, haven't we? We don't count our blessings. I doubt if we even recognize many of them anymore. Why? Because we have abandoned the discipline of giving thanks. That's why. And the reason we've stopped giving thanks is because we think we've got everything as we have as a right. We have a right to good health, don't we? Right to a good marriage, right to a good job and a good church and a good holiday at least once a year. We've the right to be able to buy the things we want, and everybody else's responsibility is to make sure we get what we want when we want it. And so we complain. We complain when the supermarket has run out of the sort of bread we usually buy or the sort of milk we usually drink. And we forget that most of the world's starving population would be amazed to hear us complain about what's on offer to us on the overflowing supermarket shelves. I remember coming back from India and walking into Tesco's and seeing 2 aisles of cat food, dog food, gourmet cat food, gourmet dog food. Looking at children starving on the street. It's so easy to slip from being thankful into being demanding, isn't it? But this constant demand for more while ignoring what we already have withers our souls. Godliness with contentment is great gain, the Bible tells us. And if you're growing bitter in your spirit, the answer is not to dwell on what you don't have or the shortcomings of your job or your friends, whatever. The answer is to stop and consider all that God has heaped upon you, because as David declares rightly in Psalm 23, our cups overflow, don't they? Don't they here in this part of the world? Our cups overflow. We live in such a privileged part of the world, both materially and spiritually. Our cups are overflowing with good things, and God expects us to recognize all his benefits and say thank you. And that's why he writes in 1 Chronicles 16, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. The ongoing, faithful, eternal love of God is expressed in his goodness to us, goes on forever, and God expresses that love to us in so many ways. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, for example, he says, look at what God has given to us because of his great love. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you've been saved. God took us, Paul says, when we were beyond any human hope, and he breathed spiritual life into us, and he washed us and he cleansed us by the blood of Christ. And he didn't have to do it. We had no right to expect it. It was an act of stupendous grace. And then, having told us what God has done for us in the past, Paul goes on to tell us about what's ahead of us in eternity if you're a Christian. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And then Paul reminds us again that we need to be thankful, for this is not a right. It's not something we earned. It's a gracious gift. For it is by grace you've been saved, through faith. This not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. Surely in the light of that, if you're a Christian, you can give your amen to that great psalm of thanksgiving of David's in the book of Chronicles, which includes those words, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Surely you can go along with that. And David gives this psalm to Asaph, the praise leader. And all the people sing it. And this is such an important thing that David appoints certain people to the specific task of making sure that they sing it, to make sure that it's done, to make sure that God is thanked. And so they sing of God's greatness and the wonders he has done. It's a time of real thanksgiving and praise and worship. Is that what's missing in our walk with God? We come to church every Sunday. Maybe you have a regular quiet time every day where you read your Bible, you bring your list of prayer requests to God. But our prayers and our conversations and our heart attitude are all missing that important element of thanksgiving. And it's so easy to overlook it, isn't it? So easy to take this for granted. But the next time you open the door for someone and they're brushed past you without acknowledging that you did it, or you make someone a cup of coffee and they don't thank you for it, or you let a car out of side street and he drives off without flashing his lights at you, acknowledge it, then think of the 10 lepers we read about this morning and Jesus' response. And then think, well, when was the last time I thanked God for all that he has done for me? And if we get into that habit, it will change our prayer life, it will change our attitude to events as they unfold around us. Let's give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you make us aware from your word that even as we gather in here this morning, we are so privileged, we are so blessed. You have poured so much love and grace and material and spiritual blessings upon us here. And Father, we do confess, we very often take them for granted. We think nothing of them. We've come to expect them. And so we want to take time this morning, just as we meet here, to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for your kindness in rescuing me from the dominion of darkness and bringing me into the kingdom of the Son you love. Thank you, Father, for every blessing you pour out upon me. Thank you for the promised blessings ahead of me, that our future is bright and golden. And Father, we just commit ourselves to you. Pray your continued blessing upon us and upon this church. Watch over us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing again together. Let me just announce that one, Saviour. My heart is filled with thankfulness.